I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
It's The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is the Emmy Award-winning, but more importantly, just delightful, host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. Please welcome our friend, Trevor Noah. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming over
here.
I know you got
Thank
your own
you.
Show tonight.
Yeah,
you got to get over there
and
get
them
prepared.
Come on. Stephen Colbert calls you, you come.
What?
You
what?
Come.
This all just gets mixed into your executive time, right?
Do you have executive time?
I'm an executive producer on the show. You're an executive producer.
We both have executive time. Because I just tell my people the truth of what I'm doing. So they go, what are you doing? I'm like, I need to nap. And then I realize Trump is smart. He's like, you call it executive time. It makes you seem important. What are you doing? It's executive time. I'll have to whisper to my assistant. She'll be like, hey, I need you. And then I'll be like, I need to go poo. And then she's like, okay, I'll just tell people you're busy. But now I'll just be like, it's executive time. Yeah. I'll be like, is that why your office smells like? This is executive time. It sounds epic.
Well, I love doing field pieces back in the old days.
Right.
But, back in my day, the host didn't do the field pieces. You just did an amazing field piece a little while ago to South Africa, to your home country. What was that like for you to go back there now?
It was amazing. I got to go to South Africa for the Global Citizen Festival.
Sure.
Celebrating 100 years of Nelson Mandela's life. And it was amazing.
I hear very good things.
To go back to the country. Great guy. Really great guy. Wonderful guy. You should read up on him.
Sure,
great
sure.
guy.
Yeah.
And what was cool is I got to go home and it was a festival of music, you know, of people raising money, getting governments to act and commit more money to education and life-changing policies for people around the world. Jay-Z and Beyonce were there. This is the real reason I went. but going home is always great, you know.
Yeah.
It's always great to like go home.
How famous are you in South Africa? Like, can you walk down the street there?
I can, but I will be chased.
You're a one-man Beatles.
Well, partly because people love me, and partly because I owe a lot of people money from. but no, it's great. You know what's fun though is South Africa is an interesting place because it's big but it's small. Everyone feels like they know everybody.
How big is it? How many?
Well, we have a population of 50 million.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, but let me put it this way: like to fly from one corner of South Africa to the other is a two-hour flight.
Okay.
Whereas in America, you fly for 2 hours, you're still in New York. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, it's ridiculous.
Of,
it's too
of,
big.
Yeah, sure.
It's too big.
Yeah.
And so, for me, it's like just people just know me more. Do you know what I mean? So people will be like, Trevor! It's like Daily Show. They're just like, we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to hang out. Like my grandmother, for instance. I interviewed my grandmother for The Daily Show. And she, like, does not know what I do, how I do it, why I do it. People tell her, and she's just like, when they say we saw your son, your grandson on The Daily Show, she thinks they means like somewhere, like they saw me somewhere. And she'll be like, oh, my friend saw you at Daily Show. And I'm like, on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, whatever.
How old is she?
My grandmother is 96.
Now, wow.
96.
Still sharp?
Yeah.
Still sharp?
Still, like, super sharp, super funny.
Was she a big part of your childhood?
She was. Her big job was when my mom was working, her job was to keep me in the house and stop me from going and playing outside. Because, and I talk about this in my book, I would want to go play with the other kids. But then because I was a mixed-race child, that was illegal in South Africa, so my grandmother would have to keep me indoors so that I couldn't go outside because the police would take me away.
Because the evidence of your crime was you.
Because if you saw me, then you'd be like, my mom, something happened here. There was some chocolate that mixed with something else. And you're like, this came out. There's some caramel. What's going on?
Well, you mentioned your book, Born a Crime. This is out in paperback right now.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
And here's the thing. That's one thing. Book comes out in paperback. Yeah, sure, everybody does that.
Right, right.
You have actually just put out it's Trevor Noah, Born a Crime. This is a young reader's version of your book.
You know why? I had so many parents come up to me saying, my kid loves the book, but then there's some words that I don't want them to read.
Can't they read? What's out of this book that's in this book that would destroy the minds of our children?
Well, there's, like in that book, there might be the word mother, you know? Just like, there's just one time. It's part of a story. And then in...
So that's the only difference between
No, no, no. In, right so, here. So, okay. Okay, in that book, I tell the story of how... So my great-grandmother, who lived in the house with us, was blind. And I tell the story of how I took a in the kitchen because I didn't want to go outside. The toilet was outside, and it was raining. I didn't want to go outside. And then it was just me and my blind grandmother, and then I took a in the kitchen. And I didn't know she was there because she was just, sit, like, really still in the corner. And then, like, halfway through doing my business, I turned, and then I was like, ah. And then her nose crinkled, and she was like, is someone there? And so I tell the story, but I keep the story in both books, but then for the kids, I just say poo. I don't say
That's nice of you.
But that was crazy.
Well, let me get to the most important question here, is that these two covers, okay, on one of them, you're doing this.
Yes.
And look, right here, you're doing this
yes.
on one,
uh-huh.
and you're doing this on the other.
Right.
What is the difference between those two postures?
Well, I think for the children. For the yes. children, you know, children relate.
This is for
children
adults.
Relate more to that, like to that second one there. The other one is a little more gritty. It's like it's weathered and it's this is more like this is how a child would draw this cover, I feel.
Okay.
That's basically what I was going
for. So there's no two different emotional states
no,
for you.
No, it's all relating. The same? It's just relating. It's all the same, Stephen.
Okay.
It's all the same. It's for the children. Suffer little
Everything
children.
Everything you do is for the children.
Yeah, suffer little children.
The Daily Show. Suffer. Daily Show's for the That's, children now, isn't
I
it?
I am for the children. Suffer Good. Little children to come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Amen, Reverend. the Reverend Dr. Trevor Noah over there. I'll join your cult.
We both grew up good. In super religious houses.
Yeah. Super Catholic. What was your extraction of religion?
Interdenominational.
Interdenominational. Everything.
She converted to Judaism. It was a crazy
wow.
lifestyle. Yeah.
Sure.
Which was crazy for me because then I had a bar mitzvah and then, but she didn't explain what that was. And then all my friends were black, so none of them came because I was like, if they knew it was a party, people would have come. I said, I'm having a bar mitzvah. And they're like, what is it? I was like, I don't know. And then wow. my mom was like, oh, you're 13 now, you're a man. And I was like, okay. And then she was like, yeah, and that's it. She didn't tell me the money part. That's the thing that she didn't tell me about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so then when I tell all my Jewish friends now, I'm like, I had a bar mitzvah. They're like, oh, how much did you get? I was like, what do you mean, how much?
Wow.
And then I go back to my mom, I'm like, where was the money wow. part of conversion? And she's like, oh, we couldn't do the money part. No oh. one was. So, yeah.
So are you Jewish?
No, my mother's Jewish.
But you got a bar mitzvah. Why,
yeah, but she converted and then just threw me into the bar mitzvah. I don't think I get to claim it. I don't think it works like that.
Stephen. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it works like
know.
That.
I don't know.
I don't think you Did get you... grandfathered in. It's not like Obamacare. You don't just like... I don't get to come in just
no.
because...
No, okay.
I'm under a certain
All right.
age.
All right. All right. Let's talk about the news for just a moment because I know you got to go do your show and
right,
you'll be talking
right.
about things. What do you think about what I've called like the kabuki theater of this week, where Trump is pretending to be unhappy and the Democrats are pretending they didn't give him something he wanted? What do you make of his? What do you make of the state of this week and all the discussion of will he or won't he sign it?
I'll be honest with you. I've gotten to a point where I feel like in America, you need to limit all politicians to a single term. I'll be honest. I know this sounds crazy,
no.
but I think America has gotten to a place where all your politicians are more focused on getting reelected than actually just doing what they were elected to do, yeah. right? They're sure, stressed about it.
That's a reasonable argument.
So Trump is stressed because he wants to say that he got the wall. He does not care if it's 5 meters of wall or if it's 2,000 meters. He does not care. How many miles, how
no,
many meters?
In his re-election commercial,
he just wants
a
to
wall
say,
is a wall.
I got the wall.
Right.
It's wild. He's just, you know, he's like, walls save lives. Walls are the greatest thing. So great. So
as
great.
As long as they're see-through.
Don't you love how whenever Trump speaks, it sounds like someone poured, like, ants into his clothes just before he comes out on stage, and they're biting him as he's giving the speech. Like, so he's got this, my fellow Americans, I just wanted you to know, we said.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more Trevor Noah.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Brave the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here with Trevor Noah. You might have a perspective on this. There's been a lot of trouble in the state of Virginia.
Yes.
In the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Over revelations over politicians who have used blackface in the past.
Right.
Okay. 39% of respondents in a poll just said they think it would be okay to wear blackface in a Halloween costume.
These respondents are white people.
They didn't say in the poll. They just said
39%. No, I'm telling you. These respondents are white people. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Sure. What do you think? What could be said to drive home the idea that, no, that's not a good idea?
You know what? I think in many ways, America is always going to come into this problem if you do not have conversations around the history of the country, how America came to be, and conversations around race. Right? So a lot of the time, Americans want to jump quickly from, okay, black people can't vote. Now you can't vote. Now everything's done. We move on. It's like, no, but you have to talk about the ramifications of what that came with. You have to talk about the ramifications of Jim Crow. You have to talk about the ramifications of slavery. You have to talk about the ramifications of the minstrel shows. You have to talk about all of this. And if you have those conversations, people will understand it. If you are taught about blackface in schools and the symbolism and what it means, then I think a lot more white people will understand. But like, a part of me also goes, I can understand how a person can be ignorant and say, well, I don't get it. I mean, I've seen white chicks. Why is that okay? How the Wayans brothers did white chicks. Why can't I do blackface? Mm-hmm. And you're like, because white chicks was never used to oppress anybody other than moviegoers. Like, like you
quality
get what I'm saying?
Quality entertainment.
Right. It's a funny movie. It's a funny movie. But
one of the things I like about South Africa, one of the things I admired is the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Yes. It wasn't perfect.
It wasn't perfect, but it was an attempt to do something.
It's just conversations. That's why, for me, I go, Governor Northam, I would keep that guy in office for as long as possible because now he's being forced to talk about it. You know, and that's what people should be doing. Have the conversations. Go out there and say, this is what I did. This is what I don't understand. Let's have these conversations and listen. And Northam has to listen now. You hear, he's like, I'm reading Roots. I want
sure.
A governor who's reading Roots.
Somebody should make a TV series out of this.
They should. That would be a good show.
So good.
Really good.
So
but a mini show, not like a full series, just a mini series.
Howard Schultz is almost too boring to talk about. But CNN had him on last night for a town hall.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody watched. Evidently it was like the lowest rating thing in the history of humanity. Yeah. But what do you make of a person who, like 40% of the people have even heard of his name.
Right.
Only 4% think him running is a good idea.
Well, I think Howard Schultz is another example of how when you are an extremely rich person, you live in an entitled bubble that makes you believe that you can do whatever you want, and the world actually reinforces that idea.
Because I never cease to be amazed that money makes you think you know things you don't know.
Yes, but it because you have all of it. I understand that. If you are a billionaire, I would think I know everything because I have all of the people of all the money.
You know
like
everything.
Like all the money of all the
you
people.
You know everything other than not to take pictures of your penis. as Jeff Bezos has proven to us.
We'll get to that, but here's the thing with Howard Schultz.
Will we get to Jeff Bezos' penis?
We'll get to his penis. We'll make room for his penis,
We'll get
Stephen.
There together, brother.
We'll get to his penis, my friend. Okay, here's the thing about Howard Schultz for me, right, is if you're a billionaire, he wouldn't be getting this coverage if he were any other politician, right? But they would go, what's your polling? We're not even going to put you on TV. But because he's a billionaire, people want to talk to him. But if you look at his policies, he's being disingenuous. Run as a Democrat, and if your policies are good enough, you should be the primary winner. But you know that they're not strong enough to beat other Democrats, so you're going to run as an independent because it's that billionaire mindset that you have. And all you're doing is stealing votes, and you're just messing things up for people because America doesn't really have choice. It's got two choices. So you're going to come in there and you're going to mess up. Like, if you believe in your ideas, go and fight your ideas up against other ideas and see what happens.
And you know you'll never lose your primary funder yourself.
Because you are...
Right.
Exactly.
You'll always stand
and
by
as,
you.
As for the penises, I'm shocked that Jeff Bezos was taking pics for himself. I'm just saying, at that level of wealth, I would have a pick here. I'm just gonna put
Annie
it out
Leibovitz
there.
Annie Leibovitz come in, you know?
I would have...
It's amazing.
I would, like, that's, like, something that I would just assign. I'll tell my, like, executive assign. I'd just be like, Daniel, make sure you send a pick to, Sarah and Mary, please. Get from my catalog. I just have, like an exclusive
sure.
catalog of special picks
Who
that I've
the
sent
Oscar
out.
Who won Oscar for best cinematography
yeah,
last year?
I would, like, I want a Guillermo del Toro. Like, I want that kind of level of, you know what I mean? I want, like...
To bring the IMAX camera.
That's what I want. I want portraiture. I don't even send pics if I'm a billionaire. I want these things painted. I'm gonna send you marble sculptures of
sure.
my penis. That
sure.
is what I will send you
yeah.
if I have that kind of
yeah.
money.
Yeah, maybe like a Picasso. Give me like six of them.
Yo, that's what disappointed me with Jeff Bezos. I was like, the pics?
Mm-hmm.
Also, all look poor, Stephen.
They all look poor?
No, like, all look like...
You gotta hang out with a better class of d- my friend. Well, on that high note, it's for young readers. It's Born a Crime, Trevor Noah.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. We'll be dropping classic bits and celebrity interviews 7 days a week while the show goes on hiatus for summer break. The Late Show will be back on July 18th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube. Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.